The Holy Gospel for today is taken from Luke chapter 13. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his donkey or his ox from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. This is the gospel of the Lord. Go ahead and be... Well, I have to say it's much more pleasant in here right now than it was last night at about 8 o'clock or 8:30. It was 87 degrees in here. So I have to say that the clouds this morning felt like a nice break from the hot weather that we've been having. I grew up here in Western Washington, and I'm not a huge fan of hot weather. You put me in Texas, and you get that humidity and that heat. We lived in Chicago for 3 years when we were in seminary, and I was not disappointed to leave that hot, humid weather. Because no matter what you do, there's really no getting away from it. If you're lucky enough to have air conditioning, you get some temporary relief, but eventually, you have to go back out in it. And when you do, there's no choice really other than to have that heat just surround you, even to the point where you feel like it's almost threatening to overwhelm you. Your only defense in many ways is to just embrace it and name it. It's hot. Well, as I read this morning and talked with the kids, our gospel story today is about the bent over woman. She has no other name that we know about. History has named her, has labeled her, perhaps even judged her by her appearance, by what's, quote, wrong with her. It was the Sabbath day, the holy day. God's people had gathered together to in the synagogue, their place of worship, and Jesus is teaching. Like every first century synagogue, the men were seated all up front. The women were seated in the back. And even though this woman was bent over and couldn't make eye contact with anyone, we're told that Jesus notices her. When I was a seminary intern in East Boston, Massachusetts, I got to know a very faithful woman named Mary. Mary was very interesting. She was interesting for many reasons, but one of them was the fact that she was a Baptist turned Catholic who loved to come to the Lutheran Bible study. And at that time, Mary was 72 years old. In the 1940s, when she was 21 years old, she was involved in a very serious sledding accident. She suffered severe neck, back, and spinal cord injuries. And as she was being wheeled into surgery, she was informed that in order to keep her from being paralyzed from the neck down, they would have to restrict her neck movement so she could no longer move her neck from side to side. Then she was given a choice. Did she want the doctors to fuse her back and her neck so that she would be upright? When she stood, she would be very upright, and she couldn't move her neck so that she wouldn't be able to see her feet, but she would be looking out. Or did she want them to fuse her back at an angle so that she could see the ground and see her feet, but as she was walking, she couldn't look up to see people's faces. Of course, she didn't have very much time to make this decision. But in the end, being practical won out for Mary. She wanted to see where she was going. She wanted to be able to see her feet and tie her own shoes. So she had lived for 51 years being very bent over. She knew she missed a lot because she always was looking down. What bothered her the most, however, was not being able to make eye contact with people. Because in East Boston, we kind of all walked everywhere. She constantly fought the feeling that she was invisible, that no one noticed her. So early on, she got in the habit as she was walking down the street and people came by, she would say hello. And she was absolutely delighted if that person responded with a hello back. Our gospel text says that the woman in the synagogue was crippled by a spirit, that she was bent over, unable to stand up straight at all. What was that spirit that crippled this woman? Was it a demon, an illness, an accident, the burden of life? Was it something that happened to her? Was it due to an addiction of some kind? Was it a mental health issue? Anxiety or depression? Because both of those things have a way of beating us down and turning us inward so that we can't see what's going on around us. Was it stress? Financial worry or debt? We don't know exactly what spirit crippled this woman. But what we do know is that Jesus said she was bound by Satan. And when he uses this word, I guess I picture less the horned red devil type. But the word Satan means the accuser. The accuser. And that this woman was bound by the accuser, by accusations, by judgment. Was it her own self-judgment? Or was it the accusations or the judgment of those around her? We're not sure, but I have a hunch it was probably both. You see, in that culture, they believed, they understood that any ailment, whether it be physical or mental, emotional or spiritual, that any ailment was a judgment from God. You are this way, they believed, because you sinned. This woman was bound by that spirit that judged her and found her unworthy, sinful. Now, although we don't believe this anymore, and let me be clear, we don't believe that these things are God's judgment at all. We do, however, I believe, know this spirit of accusation, the spirit of judgment. Because this woman, this bent over woman, is anyone and everyone who has ever struggled. Struggled to rise above the pain of shame, of low self-worth, of judgment from others. She's everyone and anyone who's struggled with illness or addictions, loss of self-esteem, loss of innocence. She's anyone who has lived in an oppressive situation that feels like that heat that we were talking about earlier. That there's just no way of getting around it. You might have moments of relief, but then you're right back in the midst of it. It envelops you and surrounds you and just threatens to overwhelm you. You feel like sometimes you have no control and that your only defense is perhaps to just name it and embrace it, that that's the reality. Well, as this bent-over woman makes her way to her seat that Sabbath morning, Jesus calls to her. He called to her in a way that she knew he was talking to her. Like a cool breeze on the midst of a hot day. Jesus' voice somehow gives her the strength she needed to walk from the very back of that synagogue all the way up to the front where he was teaching in front of everyone. My East Boston friend Mary absolutely loved Bible study. She loved the conversation about God and life. She loved her friends, and she loved sitting at the table. We had a big table in the kitchen of the church that it seated like 20 people. I mean, it was huge. And we got a swivel chair, especially for Mary, because she couldn't turn her neck, so she could turn the chair from side to side so that she could follow, you know, the conversation of who was talking. What she loved most about sitting at the table, though, is that was the place where she could see people eye to eye. The pitch of her back was such that when she sat down, she could see people's faces. She said what she loved about that was it made her feel like an equal. It's not by chance, I believe, that Jesus called that bent over woman from the back of the synagogue all the way in front of everyone. He was making it very, very clear to the whole community that he was inviting her, especially inviting her, to a place at the table. At his table where there is freedom and there's forgiveness. He embraced her and named her reality as it really is, a daughter of Abraham. Now I looked, and did you know that this is the only place in the entire Bible where that term is used? Daughter of Abraham. Son or sons of Abraham, that's used countless, many, many times. But this is the one place, Jesus' own words, where that term is used, daughter of Abraham. Jesus was affirming that she was God's beloved child, that she is God's beloved daughter. We're told that Jesus lays his hands on her, and immediately she stood up straight. The first face that she saw after 18 years of being bent over, the first face she saw was the face of Christ. I imagine that they looked into each other's eyes, and then she began praising God. And the people rejoiced, all that is, except for the other one who is bent out of shape, the synagogue leader. He reminded Jesus that it was against the law. And they believed that was God's law, that the Sabbath was for rest. And everybody knew. I mean, Jesus knew the Torah. He knew the rules. Healing was an act of work. 6 days, this woman could have been healed. But instead of kind of shaming Jesus, he shames her and says, people, you have 6 days to come. Don't come this day to be healed. That's against the law. So Jesus uses that as a teaching moment to remind everyone in that room, the whole community, what God's grace is really all about. That everyone is always, whether that's one of the 6 days or the Sabbath day, everyone is always welcome in that unloving embrace. That loving embrace of God, no matter what. So I don't know what may have you feeling bent over today, or how far from God, or how far from the community of faith that you might be feeling. I don't know all the things that you struggle with. I don't know what labels you wear or what shame you bear inside. But I do know this. I do know that we all of us, to some extent, live life bent over. It may or may not be in physical form. In fact, no one may see that we are bent over at all. But the good news is that Jesus knows. He sees us, even when we sit in the back of the room, slipping in, hoping no one notices. And he calls to us, reaches out to us with a healing hand so that we can stand up straight before him. He calls us not like that gentle breeze, but he calls us with that cleansing fire of forgiveness and grace and mercy and truth. He reaches out to us with a love so warm that it envelops us and surrounds us and just plain overwhelms us. Thanks be to God. Our only defense, if even we want, is to just embrace it, to name it, and give thanks to God. Jesus knows us, and he loves us. He loves us enough to set us free from whatever cripples us. Sometimes that freedom is physical. Sometimes we experience that physical healing. Other times it's not physical, but it's emotional or it's spiritual. But Jesus always, always calls out to us, reaches out to us, and invites us to a place at the table, embracing us with love and forgiveness. He calls us by name and reminds us that we are all daughters and sons of Abraham, that we are all forgiven and loved children of God. So today we are invited again to the table of the Lord, where we see the face of Christ as we look at each other eye to eye as brothers and sisters. Amen.